I just need to allow them to flow by themselves. If I just motivate enough, it will create the kind of atmosphere that everything goes smooth in the class.
Mauricio.
Yes.
Welcome and thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was really thinking about your name. I'm used to saying Lobinho.
In capoeira, Lobinho, I'm outside the capoeira guy.
Oh, really?
In Oxford, okay. When I walk around, is the capoeira guy.
Got it.
Or Mao.
Mao. Yeah, Mao. Mao. Yeah. And you've been doing that for a long time, I guess.
15 years.
15 years?
At least 15 years, yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I've heard how you started it, actually.
Yeah, well, I started because when I moved here to Oxford from Spain, I was going to these English lessons in the city center. They were English lessons for free.
Yeah.
I make a lot of friends there, but it was very boring classes. And then when someone invited me to capoeira, I didn't know what capoeira is, but I thought like, well, if it's a physical thing and it's inside of the Oxford University, I will meet interesting people. I will learn English faster and...
Wow, to learn
yeah.
English.
So initially it was just because of that. I didn't have an idea what capoeira is, but it was a kind of a coincidence.
Yeah.
At the beginning, I didn't really understand much, but I met a very good friend, Stavros. And after the classes, we were like looking on internet, some videos. And then after some time, I realized that I can understand Portuguese a little bit.
Okay.
When you live in Spain, Portuguese sounds like a very strange language. But when you move here to England, you feel more familiar with Portuguese.
Got it. Okay.
I guess it's the when you see this gap, no, between different languages, you seem closer to the ones that sounds closer to your language.
Weird. Yeah. I mean, I would think that Portuguese is closer to Spanish and closer to Spain, but
yes.
Somehow when you're in
yes.
Britain, it's easier for you.
But my mind was quite close because I was. Just in Spain and traveled to South American countries, so I didn't have an idea about English.
Okay.
So just having Portuguese as a different language, the only one that I know, it sounds like different, like Russian, you know, like a completely different.
Yeah, it sounded like Russian to me also when I first
yeah,
heard it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but I guess it's because the Portuguese from Brazil is easier to understand as well for us.
Yeah.
They speak a bit slower.
So... Okay, so you did that 15 years ago, and now you're teaching capoeira, actually.
Yeah.
I guess, are you like contramestre or just...
No, just trainel.
Trainel, okay.
Yeah.
But you're teaching this group regularly, sometimes 4 days a week, sometimes twice a week, whatever.
Yeah.
It's kind of a big part of your life here. Like, huh. Did you imagine that you would be teaching anything, actually, like this? Like,
I mean, when I became an adult and I was working, I was doing a completely different thing. But it was always something related with interact with people.
Mm.
So I, at some point I was always a people's person. One of my first jobs was an animator in websites. So you have to speak with a lot of people in chat, you know? And then I was working as a teenager in a call center and then help desk in airlines. Then I was in a space controller, so it's always interaction with people, but never anything related with teaching.
You never saw yourself as a teacher?
No.
Okay.
No.
Now, I think you teach really well, honestly, and something that I am... It's just becoming more and more obvious to me, like the separation, or the distinction between the one who has the knowledge and the one who knows how to transmit it, actually. It's
mm-hmm.
actually not... always the case that people who know things understand
yeah.
how to explain it well or
uh-huh.
to help people understand. And you know, I mean, I think you kind of have both. Like you have your knowledge of what you're teaching, but it's something I've appreciated even last year when I came to like two of your classes just to visit. Like I really perceive your kind of way to guide very gently and like find a way for everyone to come along with you.
Hmm.
And it's what we were talking about, like I think it was Thursday last week, like you described wanting to teach as a way to make everybody better than you or like to save them time.
Hmm.
I think you use this kind of phrasing. It's like, okay,
yes.
You spent all this time like figuring something out.
Yeah.
And when you teach, it's not about I'm the teacher and I'm important. Da, da, da. It's like you actually want to elevate them and even let them skip things that you have to skip. It's like, so how do you come to this idea of teaching when you never even saw yourself as a teacher, actually?
Yeah.
What makes you do it that way?
Well, I think my mother, she told me that since I'm very young, I really enjoy like sitting and look at the adults talking.
So just watching.
Just watching. Yeah, just sitting in the corner and watching. It was better than television. So I think I was always quite interested about to understand different personalities. Oh. And I think it sometimes helps me when you are teaching capoeira or you're responsible for a group, one of the things that you're looking at is what can I do to this person come back?
Okay, yeah, how can I keep them?
Yeah, but of course, I'm not a person that they will send message on internet saying like, hey, are you coming back? You disappear. I don't know, I feel a bit invasive sometimes, but maybe I'm wrong, you know? I really want to see if they come back because they really like how they feel in the class. So I think when I started teaching, I was always focusing in make something very simple so everyone feels that they can do capoeira. So this is how I start teaching, just helping to the teacher to look after the beginners. So I repeat, okay. I repeat this beginner's class so many times, but again, each person is different, no? So I guess like I still keep in this kind of hobby since I'm a kid. I'm observe a lot what kind of person I have today, you know? Who is in front of me?
It's not a, oh, now I have to do this beginner stuff again. It's like, ooh, now I get to figure out how to, it's like a puzzle or something that's actually, it draws you into.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like, as you can see, I'm a quite enthusiastic person. So even if some people will say like, look after beginners will be boring, but I find it very exciting, you know? But going back to the question, now are days when I have a number of students that they come back and they feel part of the group. I know them a little bit and I know how I just need to allow them to flow by themselves, how they, each one, if I just motivate enough, it will create the kind of atmosphere that everything goes smooth in the class. I know which one is good doing one hand standing, or which one find it difficult, and it's a good day.
Like on a personal, one person, you know each person,
yeah,
and
but
you try to put it together. So.
But because we know as a group, if you play the right notes, you know, the energy start like a flowing nice, you know?
Yeah, because
you know each one, if you know which one should try handstanding or which one will help you with the sequence this day, and people know what are the challenges and all these things, it creates kind of a nice atmosphere where everyone feels included. So I guess like just by knowing a little bit how to work with these energies, I don't really have to do everything. They have their own space in the class. You know what I mean? Mm. That's why when you have, for example, now like a more solid group, I find it much easier teaching because I have all this energy from my students that they are regular and I know them.
But you've also helped make it happen because it was a goal. It's like your principle, actually. It's just to make people feel good so that they come back and that they want to do it again.
Yeah. But also I can tell you something. When I go to the class, I'm really thinking what I'm going to teach or what I'm preparing. But when the classes start, and I think like a lot of people feel this thing, when the classes start and the music starts, you feel different. You feel the energy of what is happening around or which movement you were thinking. We're going to practice the sequence, but you see something or something happen that just drives you automatically. So part of me is this kind of skills, my social skills with people, but there is another one that is just come from my heart. You know, that I feel in that moment. And maybe I cannot really explain how it works, you know?
Yeah,
it's just passion for capoeira.
I love it, yeah. I mean, it's something, I think you can definitely feel it. Do you have any idea why it's important to save people the time so they don't have to do what you did? The reason I ask you about this is I find it rare that I hear this kind of phrasing in terms of why to teach, and actually something that I notice about myself that frustrates me when whether it's like somebody teaching music or you know, movement or like an intellectual concept, it's like they're teaching it the way that they were taught. And it's sort of, I think that's maybe useful to like maybe respect your kind of origin, but at the same time, it's not always like the best way to teach or the way that makes sense for the person you're teaching.
Yeah.
And so to actually just think, hey, wait a minute, let's change that. Let's not make them go through 10 steps when they can just do 2 or 3 or 5. So I don't know, I just find it interesting that it
will make more sense if I explain you. One of the works I'm doing nowadays from the last 5-6 years is I'm working with people end of life. you know, and spending time with these people in off life, there is a moment that you can close and you forget about the age. You can see somehow the person behind, and especially when they are talking all the time about the past and they saw your picture when they were younger, you know, and you start, like, in your mind, start to figure out the person you have in front of you, and sometimes you make jokes, sometimes even you have a beer together, you know, and they are just facing death all the time. You feel like time is very short, and you can see in that period of time how fast they degrade it and how much they would like to live. That then when I go to the class and I speak with my students, I have this experience just before, saying like, man, can you imagine, especially in Oxford, that people come from 1 year to years and they go, it's no time to waste.
Whoa.
Even the time we spend, like, for example, you came and visit, even the time we spent is limited. And the time in life, everyone who has 60, 70 years can tell you, time goes very fast in life.
I guess it's real for you in a way that if you or I were sort of facing death in the near future, it's sort of a common trope, actually, that when one is close to death, then they start reflecting and like, oh, I should actually just do things now and not wait or not make compromises, etc. But in a way, you're not in that situation, but you encounter people and then you sort of apply that understanding to other aspects of your life, and then we understand. So
yes,
one more point about the cool stuff you were saying in last week's class. You were just talking about moving the body as a way to express emotions. Of course, you're talking in the context of capoeira, but I don't think you only see it in that way. I think you maybe mean it more broadly, or correct me if I'm wrong. I was fascinated that I've never heard it phrased this way before. Like, we talk about capoeira as like personal expression, or even dance as like personal expression. But I've never, somehow I came away from your class thinking like, oh, do I even know how I feel right now? And how am I communicating that kind of thing through the way I move? Like, I never made this connection between like, oh, that's actually what I'm communicating when I move. I'm not just doing some moves to check off some boxes. It's communication. Not only on this sort of like, okay, we're playing a kind of game framework, and within this hypothetical world of like a chess board or something, we're making, you know, there's a response for certain things, and it's actually becomes a kind of intellectual thing in that sense, I think.
Yeah.
But so to hear it framed in this way was quite interesting for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I try often to think about people who are sedentary and not moving very much.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you and I, we have this thing we're doing every week or whatever, we're training sometimes on our own, etc. Like, I want to relay this point, because I've talked in the past about like exercises or getting moving or like why it's important, etc. But what do you think people who maybe don't have a sort of regular relationship with doing body movement stuff could understand about what it means for their emotions and understanding themselves and how they communicate, like on the communication level?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, there is some people that I met in my life that they can communicate a lot with a very, very subtle way of moving the head, or the way they look in the eyes, you know, or even keeping silence. So it's a very subtle movement that they use with a very close circle of people that they have around. The way they communicate very carefully is because there is a small circle of people, like the sons or the family around, or the staff that are working for them, that they know what this small thing means, you know. So it's quite precise communication, and maybe the people that is outside, they will not communicate with them because he cannot use that. There is a lot of people that they are too expressive, and they do this thing with everyone, you know, that the body is all the time talking, and they try to be extroverted and all these things. So I'm just talking about two different extremes, okay? But again, there is a part of the emotion and the movement that, as we were saying, like, there is two problems here. Someone explained wrong, has no the capacity to explain something properly, and the other one has no capacity to understand properly. So, for example, one way to see, I don't know how to express properly, or I don't know if I'm expressing properly, is creating the misunderstanding. If I don't know how I feel and I try to express how I feel, I also create a miscommunication. So you have more possibilities to don't understand properly, but I don't even know what I'm saying. You know?
Yeah. So it's like one level down
from But there is another case that I don't know how I'm feeling, but you have experienced eyes and you know better than me how I'm feeling.
Wow.
And this thing happens, isn't it?
Yeah.
When someone has experienced eyes, you see, and you have someone that is insecure and all these things and is trying to pretend, and you go from a sad expression to a happy, you are looking like that, and you say like, I can see you. I can see you better than you yourself, you know. And I also work doing cognitive behavioral therapy with some people I coach, and we have to talk about things that I also use for capoeira. Like, for example, we talk about the instinct, we talk about prediction, we talk about emotions, we talk about planning, strategy, understand the meaning of the word and how we are using it, or maybe we've misunderstood something, we are not using it properly. And most of the time when you don't use something properly, it just creates exactly the opposite effect, some negative effect. Like, for example, if I don't know about my emotions, I will assume that emotions are negative, because any time I become emotional is a bad consequence. But if I know about my emotions and I know how to admit my emotions, it can be very, very powerful. Must be a reason why they are there. Mm. You see, I have a lot of tools there. If you don't know how to use it, you want to hurt yourself. Yeah? But if you know how to use it, you can do incredible things. You can build this whole boat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, I think when people see a capoeirista playing and they can see a kind of someone really channeling something, like channeling, I mean like I have an idea and just transfer into the movement, you know, it is very powerful, and for that you need to know what you're expressing. Opera singers, they practice very carefully to know how to get every single note perfectly in the voice. So I guess in the movement, to know what you express is part of the how your body looks like when you are playing capoeira, but also what it will create in the person in front of you.
Okay, if you don't know how you feel, how do you figure out it?
I guess talking with another people is good.
Verbalizing.
Yeah, verbalizing, you talk. This is sometimes what therapy is about, no? Unfortunately, I think like artists, we just professionalize everything. Like, for example, I guess now what is just like, it's just a comment, okay? Just why people is doing therapy and why people is have coach is because we professionalize what is in all times friendship. Because your friends should be someone that has time to spend with you and listen to you and don't judge you and be there when you need help, okay? But now people have you know, I'm your friend, but I cannot take all your shit because they said it's not good, you know, or like you are traveling around, so you cannot go to the corner and see your friend and have a beer and talk about so many things. So I think this just nice conversations with friends, you know, or even with your grandfather or with relatives, is big part of the mental health.
Just so I understand your comment, I think you were trying to say that you have different outlets in your life, and you could talk to your friends, you could talk to this, and you were just trying to say that unfortunately today we try to professionalize things such that those are not really options anymore because people don't want to take other people's baggage, and so
or don't have time,
or don't have time, yeah,
or we have more like complex me? About yeah. how I want my friends see me if I speak about certain things,
yeah, okay,
you know, or if I feel confident to talk to my sister or my mother about certain things that is happening in my life, you know.
Okay, and if you don't feel like you have someone you can talk to, which can
well,
be a lot of
well, I think like for example in religion, some people get something like that. No, they go and they speak. Some people speak at home and pray. Some people go to the church and talk and ask for help.
Right.
You know, me for example, I don't go to the church, but many times, the most, I don't say hard, I say the crucial moment is when I wake up in the morning. When I open my eyes, there is a moment like a moment that is some kind of a question or doubt or fear that comes to my mind. Okay? And in that moment, I just try to talk, you know, and say, what is this about, and why I'm saying it, you know. And sometimes, because I'm educated as a Christian, sometimes you just prefer to talk to someone that apparently is listening, no?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a religion, then maybe just talk to yourself, I guess, or...
Yeah, another way is find music.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, find some music that helps you to resonate. It's like you talking with yourself through the song, through the music.
And that the music speaks to what you're going through in the moment.
The music, the songs you choose, sometimes is because it's touching this kind of situation or moment you're going through. It helps you to review how you're feeling. I think it's important also having faith. Faith. Yeah. That, for example, you said, if there is not this person, just wait, this person will appear, you know?
Oh, okay, yeah, like trusting in your environment or your
just
your life for yourself.
I'm just thinking that, for example, imagine you're here in Oxford,
yeah.
You don't know anyone, something happened to you that you're feeling bad,
yeah.
And you have no one to talk with. Well, as far as you have faith in someone will come, you will keep walking. Of course, you cannot have faith and sit here, close the door, and someone will come.
Hey, somebody's coming.
We are busy. It's okay. I'll come in later, okay?
Yeah. You were expecting someone?
No.
Oh.
You just decide to come like that. It's important having faith. The faith is not just to wait till something happens. I think you should keep moving the best way. Keep moving. Like, for example, sometimes when I feel like I have to do something, but I don't have help to do it, or sometimes when I want to improve in capoeira but I don't know how, the only thing I try to do is just keep moving. If it's just jinga, it's just jinga. If it's just cleaning the floor, but don't stop, you know.
So stay connected with it.
Start connected with somehow. Like, for example, the example we're talking about that before, you don't have anyone to talk, go for a walk. Just go for a walk, keep walking and keep positive, keep smiling,
yeah.
Keep looking, and someone will come and talk to you. I live like in this boat, I think, like 7 years already. All the money I already will pay for rent.
Yeah,
I will pay the boat.
Yeah,
and when I sell the boat, I can recover my money. So it's a very good investment.
Yeah,
and having my own space. Look, I'm by the river. It's nice, you know. And this boat is not like a very small.
You know,
so I still have my own space. For example, I'm coming from Madrid. So Madrid's a big city. This kind of things, you will never be able to do it. Never.
Yeah. I guess what's maybe like the most interesting but somehow subtle thing that you wouldn't understand unless you lived in a boat, and then also maybe what's like complicated about it that maybe you regret or you find harder.
I don't know if I will say I regret. I can tell you that there were very hard moments sometimes. For example, in the winter, there is some things that they just stop working in the worst moment.
Mm.
You know, like the heater and all these things. But most of the times when this thing happened, I'm thinking in my clients, you know, that they are, you know, very
ill. Terminally ill clients. And
yeah, I'm thinking about them, and no, it's not like, at least I'm young and they are old. No, I'm thinking about that one day when I have their age, I will remember this kind of experiences, you know. Like even this winter that I was frozen and I needed to sleep with three blankets, from that perspective, we'll say like, man, I will go back on time and I will do it again, because it was a kind of a adventure, and
you lived your life. You really lived your life.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah. It's just happening, you know, and you learn how to overcome with this thing and keep smiling and survive in a way, you know.
Yeah.
It's a small thing, but it's just that.
Yeah.
Based on things that, of course, like the toilet and all these things that you will not remember with love, for sure. Like, I empty the toilet, but I make the boat because I rebuild everything myself. Some friends that help me, and we have these funny moments, I don't know, put in the boiler and suddenly all the water just jump.
Gosh.
You know, it was it's part of some nice memories. And
yeah, I think if I would be interested to try it, maybe you shouldn't tell me those things. Yeah, but it's cool. Great to chat with you, Mauricio.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being.